Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Democratic candidate Judy Baker and Republican candidate Eric Schmidt were featured on our Politically Speaking podcast. In a moment, Eric Schmidt, but first, Judy Baker, a former state representative from Columbia. She spoke with political reporter Jason Rosenbaum.
Let's touch briefly on your primary victory. In a cycle where there were lots and lots of contentious primaries, it seemed like the treasurer's Democratic primary was spirited, but not overly negative. Is that a fair assessment?
You know, I think that is a really fair assessment. It's a good word. Spirited is right. I come from that camp where I don't think primaries are a bad thing because it gets you out meeting people. I met, you know, I've run a lot of other races, mostly in mid-Missouri. So I'd met a lot of folks in that area. But, you know, a statewide race and with a primary got me out in communities I hadn't been in yet. So I met a whole lot of new people, and my opponent did too. And we got them energized about the state treasurer race and what we could do there. You know, there's some platform issues there that I think that the two of us even shared, and some we had differences. But in the end, I think that we set a Democratic agenda for what we want to do in the state treasurer's office. It's really pretty exciting.
I have always said that the state treasurer's office is probably one of the most important statewide offices that doesn't get a lot of attention during election years because it's below president, U.S. Senate, governor, and even attorney general.
Yeah, and it probably sounds a little boring, but it's not. And this is the perfect fit office for me right now because of my background and, you know, some of the things that I've done in my past. When I was one of the first things I did when I was in the state legislature was I formed a bipartisan caucus that we called the American Dream Caucus. And we took some time out together across the aisle to look at the safety net programs and how they were structured and what about that structure made it difficult for people living in poverty to work themselves out of poverty. And so I learned a lot during that caucus, you know, bringing in speakers and digging into the policy and figuring out what was keeping people down. And, you know, I'm still carrying a lot of that learning with me. And I think I have the technical knowledge to help us get some issues in poverty taken care of.
As you're transversing across Missouri, how do you get ordinary Missourians excited and engaged about this race?
Oh, that's a great question. And I've been everywhere. I've been in small towns, big towns, suburban. I've been with chamber audiences. I've been with, North County, St. Louis, and inner city, Kansas City. I've been with innovators. I've been, you know, in incubators all over the state. And, you know, just a lot of people don't know what the state treasurer does. So much of what I've been doing is just educating people about what the state treasurer does do and what are the possibilities of using some platform issues in a bully pulpit to get some things done. A lot of people like to say it's the chief financial officer of the state, which is true. We run an office that has accountants and auditors and, you know, a lot of policy folks. But I also, I'd like to bring to this a sense of being the chief economic officer, to look at the bigger picture. What's our business climate like? How can we grow? How can we increase trade? How can we build the pie, grow the pie so that there's more in the end of the day? You know, we struggle with right now, there's so few and limited resources that divvying up the pie is a huge food fight, essentially. And so instead of just having issues over who gets what little pieces, let's grow the pie so that we can do some of the things for the future that we need to do. One of my biggest disappointments when I was in the legislature was, you know, when we look at the budget, it's only a 12-month budget. I would consistently say, what's our five-year plan? What's our five-year plan? And so when I get back into things down in Jeff City as state treasurer, that's going to be my focus.
That was going to be my next question, because typically the governor is heavily involved in the budget process. But, you know, as you just mentioned, the treasurer's office obviously knows the financial situation of the state pretty well because
right.
That's part of their job. Do you want to kind of provide almost like an ombudsman role to legislators that are crafting the budget? Would you want to be practically involved? I'd like to hear more about this.
You know, that's a good question. that right now the state treasurer doesn't weigh in, so to speak, on budget making. We're not on the budget committee. We're not the governor making the budget. But I think that we can have some influence. And definitely the state treasurer is consistently at forums where the economy is being talked about. And we're with business people on a daily basis talking about what Missouri needs to do to attract jobs, how to build an attractive business climate. I've been as a candidate going around to, the labor community and talking about how we can have better more available workforce, a skilled workforce, using the apprenticeships and associate degrees and STEM programs through, our labor movement, in order that we can be attractive to businesses that want to move to Missouri. It's not just about tax policy. When you want to attract businesses, it's not just tax policy. That's an important component, and we're actually pretty good on that. And, we talk about that to the exclusion sometimes of, what are the other things that attract businesses? And when you look at the places where high-paying jobs do go, it's to places that have high-quality health care, that have world-class higher education institutions, that have really strong, innovative, well-put-together infrastructure like roads and transit. And then lastly, that has that pipeline of skilled workforce. That's what businesses really look for.
If I'm not mistaken, the treasurer's office has, I think, a role in state pensions. I think they might be on the Moser's board. Is
that
correct?
That's correct. Mm-hmm. One seat on the Moser's board and the investment board.
Yeah, give me kind of a sense of how you would want to see the state pension system into the future. Right now, and I'm just for full disclosure for our listeners, since I am an employee of the University of Missouri-St. Louis, if I work here long enough, I will be on the state pension. So I want to make it clear that I do have a vested interest in this, but it's a lot of people have a vested interest
absolutely.
In the state pension. How would we want to see that going forward? Because right now I think it's a defined benefit and not like a 401k or anything. I assume you would want to see that going into the future. Is that fair to say?
Of course, we want the best return that we can possibly get. And there's some new ways of doing that. Of course, it has to do with the risk portfolio and how it's all balanced. As a pension right now, we're well rated across the nation, which is good. There's a lot of pensions really struggling. I'll want to get in there and dig in and get the analysis of, where they project that we're going to be going with it in the current structure and look and see what innovations are out there that are going to be best. I've got a couple of friends that I've reached out to already who are state treasurers that have grown the pie, like I was speaking about earlier, and been starting to talk with them about how we do that. And so I'll have some assets I can turn to help us. One of the best fund managers in the country has agreed to help us look at what we're doing.
I think Missouri is very fortunate because other states, like, for example, Illinois, are dealing with incredibly difficult situations with pensions.
Absolutely.
There was a bill that was passed, I think, in 2010 that was controversial, but I think headed off a lot of problems in the future.
Yeah.
So that we can talk about this kind of as growing the pie as opposed to a crisis situation.
And you've got to have some conservatism, of course, because, when a recession hits or, the stock market fluctuates, it puts some of these things in peril. So there has to be a balance of taking risk and being conservative. And I have some experience on an investment board and have done that. I have looked at fund managers and evaluated them. So I'll bring that expertise to the board, too.
Tell me what you would want to see with the MOST program, which is the College Savings Program, which, again, if we're going to be full disclosure here, I have a MOST account.
You're just picking my brain so that you can figure out what.
Yeah. All this is, this entire interview is predicated on giving me information for my future.
I'm glad to be of service.
But tell me where you would want to see that program, because a lot of families choose the MOST program for their college savings. I'd like to, get your philosophy on where you'd like to see that program.
But it's underutilized.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is with the MOST 529 plans, they are really good places for folks to start saving for their future. college affordability, of course, is a huge issue right now. And so being able to learn early how to save and gain access to a program like that is an important thing. The most 529 plans, only about 3% of the families that could use it do. So one of the things that we want to do is make it more accessible, communicate more about what is available out there. And honestly, the average income of the family that's using it is upwards of three figures.
Right.
So we want to make sure that the families that need it the most have access to it. And a way to do that is children's savings accounts. St. Louis has already a history with children's savings accounts, with Treasurer Jones having created the first program here in St. Louis City. And we're watching that very closely to see what works and what doesn't work. And it's going quite well. The feedback's been pretty strong about, you know, what it does. The Washington University, of course, has done a lot of the research on these types of children's savings accounts. And they've seen in a project in Oklahoma that if you give a child and a family a savings account when they enter school or by the time they enter school, that the outlook on their future improves dramatically. So I'd like to see that type of program scaled to the state so that, you know, everyone who enters school has a savings account. We pair that with some K through 12 curriculum for financial literacy. And, you know, kids can learn all through their educational career how to save money, why it's important, how money grows, what are discounts, what's a credit score, why is that important? And, you know, just general things that are life skills. And we can use age-appropriate curriculum and make sure that they get the training they need so that by the time they get out of school, they're ready for their next, big thing that they're going to do. And honestly, we're going to make sure that it's rebranded, not just college savings, which we like to say, but college and career savings program. Not everyone goes to college. Mm-hmm. And there's some really great apprenticeships, trade schools, vocational schools, community colleges, all kinds of things that people can go to and having saved a nest egg in order to do that.
So you are running against Republican State Senator Eric Schmidt. He is a two-term senator from the St. Louis area. I'll ask very simply, what do you think is the biggest difference between you and your opponent when you're running for this office?
I think largely it is what we just talked about, the things we're just talking about. I'm talking about things that are going to matter to working families and the struggles that they face every day. One that we haven't talked about yet in asset building is equal pay for equal work, for instance. And the legislature hasn't passed anything in this state to address that issue. While, you know, women and especially women of color make somewhere between 65 and 75 cents on the dollar. So it's not just women, it's women and minorities and the pay gap. I want to do an equal pay toolkit through the state treasurer's office that will address that difference in asset building. So I'm talking about asset building every day and the policies that it's going to take to help people do that. We all want everyone to be independent as they possibly can be. I'm talking about real solutions. My opponent is not. He's talking about a lot of things that even the state treasurer can't even do.
Like what?
Well, for instance, he has done a tour going around talking about terrorism. And, you know, this is the Missouri State Treasurer's Office. Terrorism is something we have to be concerned about. And I will be upholding the policy that already exists in the state of Missouri that we will not invest taxpayer dollars in states that sponsor terror. I'm 100% behind that.
Yeah.
But he's wanting to expand it to doing business and new lines of trade. Let's just take the Boeing as an example. Boeing wants to sell passenger planes to Iran, and they're just passenger planes, and that it's a $20 billion deal, and it will bring a lot of new jobs, passenger commercial business to the city of St. Louis, and he's on the record as saying that would cancel their tax credits that we gave them 2 years ago. I think that is very destabilizing to the business community. You say, we'll give you tax credits, but on the whim of a state senator that wants a larger office, all of a sudden we don't have, you know, we're going to jeopardize or cancel your tax credits. We can talk all day about the tax credits. Sometimes, you know, I'm not exactly on board with all tax credits, but if we give them, we shouldn't use a as a political ploy, a threat to take them away. I think that's destabilizing to the business community.
What I was going to say was the policy that you mentioned, I think, was established under Republican Treasurer Sarah Steelman, and I don't believe the Democratic State Treasurer Clint Zweifel has rescinded it. I think
he's kept
it.
That's right.
So
and it's working.
Yeah. But I have heard him talk a lot about that. But basically, it seems like you're both in agreement that you want that policy to remain in place,
that's
essentially.
Correct.
So that isn't actually like a big distinction between you two.
Well,
but it's not a source of emphasis in your campaign.
I don't think that we should be threatening tax credits
over
it. On new lines of business, new trade that would bring jobs to – retain jobs and bring jobs to St. Louis and the rest of Missouri. I mean, Boeing – has 15,000 jobs here and 547 vendors across the state of Missouri that would be impacted by Senator Schmidt's policy.
That's Judy Baker speaking with political reporter Jason Rosenbaum as part of the Politically Speaking podcast. Baker is the Democratic candidate vying to be the next treasurer in the state of Missouri. When we come back, we'll hear from the Republican candidate, Eric Schmidt. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And welcome back. After hearing from Democrat Judy Baker, we turn to State Senator Eric Schmidt, a Republican from St. Louis County. He was unopposed in the primary. He spoke with political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum as part of the Politically Speaking podcast.
Why do you want to be the state's treasurer, and would you bring to the office?
You know, the last 6 years, I've chaired the Economic Development Committee in the Senate and have worked on I think a lot of important pieces of legislation that can move our economy forward. And I want to continue that. I also, the ads have started here in this cycle. But, you know, for me, if you just sort of step back, at the end of the day, I'm a dad. I'm a sixth generation Missourian, but I come from a very middle class working family. My grandfather came back from World War II, started a butcher shop with an eighth grade education in St. Anne off St. Charles Rock Road. My dad worked in that butcher shop, went to night school. I saw how hard he worked when I was young. He ended up working at Anheuser-Busch 7 days a week, the midnight shift. So that work ethic was installed in me. And when I became a father, my son was diagnosed with some pretty severe medical issues. And I just came to a conclusion sometime around 2006, 2007 that I wanted to do more. And that led me to run for office the first time. It's that same desire that has led me to want to run for statewide office. I think the treasurer's office can be uniquely situated to be an advocate for economic growth. And at the end of the day, that's really, really important. As I've got around the state, there is a determination in people's eyes, but they know we can do better. And I think the treasurer's office, in addition to the functions of the office, which I'm sure we'll talk about, the day-to-day functions, can really be an advocate and a thought leader for economic growth.
Now, you've brought up an issue that actually Sarah Steelman had pushed when she was state treasurer, which has to do with terrorism and whether or not any of the state funds should be invested in firms or funds where some of the money may come from certain other countries or Middle Eastern countries or companies that do business with those companies. Can you talk about this? Because some of the critics say this is really all about just Republicans raising the terror flag, and it really doesn't really have anything to do with economic development. So can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So 10 years ago, Sarah Steelman was the first treasurer in the country to institute a terror-free investment policy in the treasurer's office. Since then, more than 30 treasurers have followed suit. So it has had a significant impact in addition to some of the sanctions, national sanctions that we have as it relates to investment in state sponsors of terrorism. There are only three countries on that list. So you could be pretty bad to be on that list. It's Iran, Sudan, and Syria. And to be a state sponsor of terror, what that means is you are giving money and arms to terrorists to kill American soldiers and American citizens. So it's a pretty significant designation that's given by the State Department. And so Sarah Steelman was the first. And the reason why I believe that it's very relevant in this race is because about a year ago, the president negotiated the Iran deal. In the Iran deal, in addition to those sanctions being lifted, literally hundreds of billions of dollars now flow into that country by way of investments. You literally have hundreds of billions being flown in the belly of cargo planes and cash to release hostages. I mean, that deal, in my view, did nothing to dismantle the nuclear infrastructure of the number one state sponsor of terrorism, which doesn't believe Israel should exist and chants death to America, and they really, really mean it. Why is that relevant to the Treasurer's office? Well, there's a paragraph in that deal, paragraph 25, that was specifically negotiated by the Iranians to undermine these state divestiture policies because they're working. They're working. These sanctions were actually really, really working. And if you think about it, the hundreds of billions of dollars that are on the sidelines through investment policies that the states control that aren't going to companies that do business with Iran has had an impact. So they negotiated it, ended up in the Iran deal. So now state treasurers are going to be on the front lines of whether or not that policy changes or not, or how it's impacted or how it's effectuated. That is a difference between me and my opponent. My opponent supports the Iran deal. My opponent is perfectly fine with dollars flowing to companies that do business with Iran. And I don't think, and I on this campaign trail, I haven't met a single person that thinks it's a good idea that their tax dollars would go to entities that do business
now,
with Iran.
Now, specifically, you were quoted in numerous media outlets saying that Boeing should have their tax credits, which, by the way, I believe you sponsored this tax credit bill in special session because Boeing is thinking of doing a passenger jet deal with Iran. Now, as you alluded to, your Democratic opponent, Judy Baker, criticized you for taking this stance, thinking that you shouldn't provide tax credits to somebody and then yank them away when you don't like a certain business deal that they're doing. I'd like you to respond to her and give listeners a sense of why you even made that stance in the first place.
Sure. My record on job creation, I'm very proud of. In fact, in 2011, I sponsored a resolution to support the F-18, which right now the Boeing jobs in St. Louis are military aircraft. But an opportunity came up for us to compete for passenger wing production that ultimately we went into special session. Ultimately, Boeing decided to keep most of those jobs in Washington. There are a few hundred jobs that might be transitioning here because of some of the work that we did to fight. And I worked with business and labor leaders to get that done. That was in 2013. Right now, Boeing is seeking to do a deal with Iran. The Treasurer's office doesn't administer those tax credits. I mean,
right.
They don't administer the tax credits. I was asked a question by a reporter about how I felt about those credits. And I have been very consistent. I don't think any tax dollar should go to any company that does business with a state sponsor of terrorism. My opponent has gone so far as to not only support that, but I'm not sure she fully understands not only the Iran deal in that paragraph 25, which is central to this defund Iran plan, but even the existing policy. And I don't think she even believes that that policy extends to companies that do business with Iran. It does. I think she is recently on your show said that I want to go extend the policy to deal with companies. That's already the existing investment policy of the state. And so what I've been very focused on is making sure that that investment policy remains intact even in light of this Iran deal.
So I want to talk to you about some of the boards that you're going to serve on if you're state treasurer. One of the things that you would be a part of is pensions because the state treasurer has a seat on the state pension board, Moser's. What would be your philosophy toward pensions? Obviously, you wouldn't be able to drastically transform it on your own. There are other people on that board. But, you know, what would you want to do in that sphere, which is very important to lots and lots and lots of Missourians who are state employees?
I mean, my record is being, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative, and I would take that proven track record to the Moser's board. The treasurer is one of the board members that sits on there along with some other folks that are appointed, you know, by the governor. And I just think that we need to be very mindful of, you know, making sure we get a solid return, but also being realistic with where we're at and taking a very conservative approach. So that's, you know, that's something that I intended that philosophy and that background take to that position.
Now, one of the other boards that you're going to serve on is a board that administers low-income housing tax credits. Now, this is an incentive that has been the source of immense controversy, not only on the board in particular that you would serve on, but also in the legislature. There have been some conservative Republicans who have wanted to curtail that tax credit along with the historic preservation tax credit. There's also a lot of just ordinary people, low-income seniors and low-income individuals who feel it's an incredibly important incentive to get housing. So if you're serving on that board, what's going to be your mindset toward providing that incentive to entities that want it, essentially?
Yeah, I've I don't know if I've mentioned this on one of the three other podcasts before, but my political hero growing up was Jack Kemp.
I think you did.
And he was this happy warrior, and he also would get involved in issues that maybe Republicans traditionally wouldn't get involved with or go into rooms that Republicans wouldn't traditionally get in.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to interview him several times over about 15 years.
And he has helped guide some, in my view, some of the issues that I get involved with, whether it's lower taxes, but also issues related to poverty. I was the first Republican to sponsor the Earned Income Tax Credit, first Republican in the history of the Senate to do that this year, and it got some traction. I think issues related to poverty and making sure people have opportunity and creating an opportunity society is really, really important. And Republicans, I think, need to continue to talk about those things as it relates to a broad spectrum of folks in that tent. Making sure you have affordable housing is part of that. I think in that board, though, in particular, an area of focus for me will be making sure that individuals with disabilities have affordable community-based housing. The model of, you know, sort of putting people away, it doesn't exist anymore, and it's illegal. And so as the father of a son who is nonverbal and depends on my wife and I for everything, it's a very personal issue for me. And those are the things that keep me up at night, like what's going to happen to Stephen when I'm gone. And I'm going to carry that life experience as I have in the General Assembly, but also to that board and making sure that there are quality options available for individuals with disabilities.
Now, if you become state treasurer, are there things that you're going to deal with at the very beginning? I mean, there's some nuts and bolts stuff, but mm-hmm. then other things aside from the committees that these boards that we've been talking about. What is your objective when you first come in, if you become treasurer?
Well, we talked about the tariff-free investing. That's been a focus. Also, I think that treasurers across the country have led on transparency initiatives. In Ohio, for example, Treasurer Mandel came in town with us on a campaign stop to talk about something they have called Ohio Checkbook. So whether we call it Missouri Checkbook or Show Me Checkbook, to really have an online, easily accessible way for people to look at what government expenditures are. And I think that can lead to a lot of reforms. And really carrying my work on municipal court reform, as you look at some of the, you know, whether it's taxation by citation or some of the abuses, to really kind of ferret that out, but also work with local governments on that too. The Missouri ABLE Act is something that's coming online. It's a bill that I passed in 2015 that is a way for families to save for the long-term needs of a loved one with a disability like they would for college, mm-hmm. Like the 529 MOST program, which the Treasurer's Office also administers.
Yeah, in fact, I was going to ask you about that.
So those two, you know, being the first generation to go to college right out of high school, education attainment is really important. I've seen that in my work as chairman of the Economic Development Committee. You need to have an educated workforce. So the 529 plan is a direct connection to that, to higher ed and making sure people are achieving, you know, the American dream. But also, again, getting back, we did last week our Missouri ABLE Act tour with our Special Needs Coalition. It's something that's not really been done before, but we're building alliances with those providers, with those families, to make sure they're aware of this new program coming online that, again, gives hope and independence to people who are really looking for it, who have been dealt challenges that most typical folks haven't.
Well, let's stay on the MOST program for a second. Again, I got to do full disclosure. I have a MOST account, and I have I have a 2.5-year-old son that I hope will utilize that one day. Mm-hmm. So how do you want to make that particular program more available to Missourians? Because it seems like a really good way to save for college, but it doesn't seem like it's been widely adopted by a lot of people for various reasons. What would you do to change that status quo if that's actually true?
You're right. There's about 3% of Missourians are enrolled in 529,
really?
Which is a low number. And so we've got a long way to go to make sure people are aware of it. So I think education
Why
is
do you
part
think
of,
it is so low, and what can the Treasurer's Office do to improve that?
I think you got to raise awareness. I think you can also be creative in building partnerships with community banks to maybe help seed some accounts. I mean, leverage the office, because we have so many community banks that are so invested in their communities around this state, to partner with them with 529 college savings. But I also think the awareness of it, and not just the money that will help pay for ever escalating college expenses, but it's also the hope and the expectations that can be put in place. I, you know, working on some education issues over the last 8 years, I got a chance to tour the KIPP Academy in St. Louis here. And one of the things I think that they do really well is they have every classroom is named after a university. And there's these very subtle reminders that this is achievable. And again, I come from a family, my dad worked very hard. I was the first generation to go from college. I can appreciate how important a college degree is. And even if it's not a college degree, making sure people are placed, whether it's a two-year degree or a trade school, there's a lot of jobs that there's need for those kinds of skills. And I think that the 529 can be a great connection point between, you know, a lot of the work I've done with businesses over the past several years as chairing that committee, with real people that we've tried to work with too, to connect everyone so that they know that there's a way to save that's going to allow their kid to achieve the American dream.
What do you think the biggest difference is between you and your Democratic opponent in this race?
Well, my opponent has run for several offices in the last decade. When she served in the House, I don't think she passed a single bill. I think my record is one of accomplishment. Major reforms, autism insurance reform, two of the largest tax cuts in the history of the state, municipal court reform that was hailed by this governor as the most significant municipal reform in the history of the state. There's that. When she was handpicked by President Obama to implement Obamacare in Missouri in 2009, that coincided with my efforts to lower taxes. So her record is pushing a disaster of Obamacare in Missouri. She was, you know, some people get, there's a lot of discussion about people voting for some semblance of that in legislature. She literally was chosen as a true believer to implement this in Missouri. I think that's a stark contrast. You talk about if you like your plan, you can keep it. That was not true. Skyrocketing healthcare costs, skyrocketing premiums, higher taxes. This is the legacy of Obamacare, and my opponent implemented Obamacare. So I was working to try to lower the tax burden. That's what my opponent was doing.
That's Republican State Senator Eric Schmidt talking with political reporters Joe Manus and Jason Rosenbaum as part of the Politically Speaking podcast. Schmidt is running for Missouri State Treasurer. The extended version of both this interview and the earlier interview with Democrat Judy Baker are available at stlpublicradio.org.